Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
I think we have to fight hard for our loved ones, and we have to listen to them and be cautious about the people that we allow into our lives. I wish so much that I would have fought harder for Mom. I'm an only child of Kim Langwell. She made me her whole world.
She was my best friend.
In July of 1999, I was a normal 15-year-old teenager. Everything seemed pretty perfect in life.
July 9th. What are your plans for that night?
We were going to go out to eat. She called me after work just to make sure that I was on track, you know, ready for dinner that night. And then I can't get a hold of her. I immediately start texting her 911. She just never called. And all I could think about was, well, maybe there's something, you know, that she's just not telling me. And you just keep thinking, she was just there. She was just on the phone. What do I do? I woke up to my phone ringing, and it was Ken Weatherford, my mom's boyfriend. Hey, did your mom come home? And I said, no, she's not here. And he said, well, Tiffany, I didn't tell you last night. I was looking for her, and I saw her car. I think you need to call somebody. I think something's wrong.
So, Detective, where was her car?
Her car was parked right about where I'm parked now.
You're looking for physical evidence. We were looking for blood, and we were looking for a body, looking for a crime scene, and we had none of that. She just disappeared.
I think for the first year I kept it together, and then after that, it just falls apart. The person that you depend on for everything is now gone.
In the spring of 2023, my supervisors filled me in on reopening the investigation. Our overall goal was just to get answers for the family. We definitely got the feeling that people were not being completely honest in their statements that they had provided back in 1999.
She had a social life, and she interacted with a lot of people.
This man was writing her love letters.
There is a stack an inch and a half thick. This is a lot of love letters.
It's a lot. Kim, I have developed this terribly strong crush on you. Something must be done about it. We're seeing obsessive behavior here. We didn't want to get tunnel vision. Do we have any named suspects in this file?
You know, some cases rely on the physical evidence. There's DNA, there's a body. This doesn't exist. We cannot find Kimberly.
We called Tim Miller. He's the founder of Texas Equisearch. And they actually specialize in looking for missing people.
Doesn't matter when we get that phone call. We're there to help the family, help law enforcement. We took a chance and it was a good choice.
This house is where we found the most disturbing scene, something I've never seen or heard of in my law enforcement career.
Peter Van Sant reports, Kimberly Langwell's hidden grave.
This case, even after I retired, this case has haunted me because I couldn't find her. I felt like I had failed.
And you felt that you failed the family?
Yes. And her.
It has been more than two decades since 34-year-old Kim Langwell disappeared. And former Beaumont, Texas detective Joe Ball still relives those early days of the investigation over and over again. On July 10th, 1999, a day after Kim Langwell failed to arrive home, Detective Ball was summoned to a strip mall parking lot in front of an Eckert pharmacy.
My mom's car is there and nobody's checked it out. We need to see what's in the car.
Kim's daughter, Tiffany McGinnis, who was just 15 at the time, and Kim's sister, Susan Butts, had already arrived at the scene.
When you looked through the window, what did you see in the car?
I saw her briefcase and a phone.
No purse, no wallet, no
keys.
Yeah,
the purse was not in there. The car was locked.
No keys inside?
Nothing. It just looked like somebody walked away.
This is where Kim's vehicle
was. This is where Kim's vehicle was parked.
And what did that suggest to you?
It suggested to me that she either met someone here and left with them, or that she had been kidnapped out of this parking lot.
But no one could recall seeing anyone get in or out of Kim's car.
I do know that they said to me, maybe she just went off. Maybe she just had started a new life and left her child. No, she didn't. She didn't do that.
Esther Randall was like a second mom to Kim, who called her Mimi.
I thought of her as my own. We adored her. She was easy to love. She was fun.
She was an amazing mom. She had me at a very young age, but she treated me like I was everything.
Hi, Mommy.
It became clear to Detective Ball that Kim would never abandon her only child.
I was pretty sure that something had happened to her.
So he focused on those who were closest to Kim, starting with Kim's boyfriend, Ken Weatherford. He was the one who discovered her abandoned car in the parking lot the evening she disappeared.
He seemed like a really nice guy. He cared about my mom. He cared about me.
Kim and Ken had met at the mobile chemical plant where they both worked. They had been dating for just 6 months. Weeks before Kim disappeared, they took a trip to Cozumel, Mexico.
She had a great time and she had a tan. And it was fun.
Did you sense they were both in love?
Yes. She was like, I'm happy, Mimi.
However, Detective Ball says he was suspicious of Weatherford, mostly because of what he didn't do the night Kim disappeared.
He saw her car in the parking lot, but he did nothing. He didn't tell anybody. He waited until the next day before he told anybody that he knew where Kim's car was.
And did you think to yourself, this man may be hiding something from me?
I suspect everybody. Everybody's a suspect.
And that included co-workers and former bosses, like Frank McCormick. This is an ID photo taken of him decades later.
Frank McCormick was a supervisor out in Mobile, and he worked in the same building as my mom.
Tiffany says McCormick, who is married, often came around their house and left Kim presents, like chocolates from Paris.
He adored her. He talked about her big blue eyes and how sweet she was. And then it went from that to a little darker.
McCormick began sending Kim love letters, dozens of them. He also sent disturbing photo collages. These are grainy copies that were given to 48 Hours by investigators.
Pictures of all kinds of women with Kim's face on the bodies.
Esther said that Kim was upset about McCormick's bizarre behavior, but she didn't report him for fear of retribution.
Kim was nice to everybody, but I think he just thought because she was nice to him that she liked him.
Detectives say despite McCormick's obsessive behavior, he had an alibi. Around the time Kim disappeared, he told investigators he was at a grocery store to buy some chips for a poker game, and he had the receipt to prove it.
We looked at him, we talked to him, and we were able to rule him out as a suspect.
But authorities had someone else on their radar, Terry Rose, Kim's ex-boyfriend. Kim and Terry dated and lived together for about 6 years. After they broke up, the two stayed in contact.
I do know that she kept a friendly relationship. He would help her do things.
In fact, the night Kim disappeared, Kim had stopped by Terry Rose's house on the way home from work.
He was doing something in the house and needed help hanging some boards, which I thought was strange.
Just 2 days after Kim's disappearance, Terry Rose willingly came into the police station and provided a statement. Terry said on the evening she disappeared, Kim arrived about 5:10 or 5:15 p.m. and was at his house for just a short time before leaving to meet Tiffany. Terry claimed he had not heard from her since.
I felt like Terry was not being completely truthful with us. It was the tone of the whole interview and how vague he was about details.
Yet Terry Rose was cooperative. He allowed police to search in and around his house.
We went into every room in that house. It was just a very junky house. There was stuff everywhere. It made it very difficult to conduct a search.
Ball says there were no signs of Kim at the house and no evidence that any violence had taken place there. But he had Terry take a polygraph test, and he failed.
At that point, I was pretty focused on Terry. I was pretty sure that he was lying, but I didn't have any evidence to confront him with.
If not even the authorities can do something to find my mom, who's going to help us?
Losing weight is one thing, but keeping it off, that's where it gets really frustrating. That's why Weight Loss by Hers now offers access to the FDA-approved Wegovy pill and the FDA-approved Wegovy pen. Wegovy is designed to help you lose weight and keep it off. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips, like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/48hours to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/48hours. forhers.com/48hours. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com. Wellness routines often fail for one simple reason, and I can speak from personal experience here. They're too complicated to stick with. Too many bottles, powders, and steps usually means they get skipped when life gets busy. Grüns is designed to simplify that. Grüns is a convenient, comprehensive formula in one delicious daily pack of gummy bears. It combines a multivitamin, green supplement, and prebiotic into one complete daily serving. Each serving comes as a daily pack of gummies because you can't fit this level of nutrition into just one gummy. It's formulated with intention, vitamins at 100% daily value, and minerals around 25% to support balanced daily nutrition. It also includes 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is 3 times the amount found in leading greens powders, and more than 2 cups of broccoli. Grüns ingredients are backed by over 35,000 research publications. Grüns is vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, with no artificial colors or flavors. And it is HSA FSA eligible. Save up to 52% off with code HOURS at Grüns.co. That's code HOURS at GRUNS.co.
Once mom was gone for a little while, you know, you come to realize that, hey, she's not going to come back.
Tiffany McInnes endured the typical teenage growing pains under the shadow of her mother's missing person investigation.
I got to a point of just complete denial. You just don't want to look anymore. Aunt Susan did a really good job keeping it going. She did searches and stuff like that.
Like investigators, Susan says she became more and more convinced who was responsible.
It just always ended up right back at Terry.
Esther says Kim had shared her fear of Terry Rose well before her disappearance.
I'm afraid he's going to kill me. If I leave, he's going to kill me.
Kim had described Terry's obsessive and possessive behavior during their six-year relationship, says Esther, which she sometimes witnessed firsthand.
She came to my house. My phone rang the entire time she was there. When are you coming? Are you still there? Is she still there?
Controlling.
Controlling, unbelievably controlling.
Esther says Kim told her that at times that need for control boiled over into violence.
And what are some of those things he did to her?
Strangled her. He threw her on a bed and strangled her till she couldn't breathe anymore. And then she woke up and he was gone.
Tiffany believes her mother shielded her from witnessing any abuse, but says she did experience Terry Rose's obsession firsthand after the relationship finally ended.
He would call the house at all times during the day, night, if mom wasn't home. He questioned me, you know, where is she at? Where has she been? When do you expect her home? We had found him lurking outside the house.
But that all stopped abruptly once Kim was gone.
Was Terry concerned about your sister?
No, not at all.
Did he help look for her?
No, never.
In 2001, 2 years after Kim's disappearance, the FBI assisted by interviewing Terry Rose. He admitted to one physical confrontation with Kim where he slapped her in the face. And he acknowledged that he had no alibi for the crucial hours from approximately 5:30 p.m. on the day Kim went missing until he met up with a friend that evening.
He called his friend David Wiley, and they shot pool from about 9:30 until probably midnight or a little after. But after I talked to David Wiley, I was even more suspicious because I was pretty sure David Wiley was lying to me too.
But investigators still lacked any physical evidence of an actual crime, and the case went cold. Decades passed. Until 2023, when the TV program Cold Justice chose to investigate the unsolved case, and the Beaumont PD appointed detectives to work alongside them.
When I got assigned the case, we set the bar pretty low.
Detective Heather Wilson became the lead investigator, working alongside Lieutenant Mitch Sliger and Detective Jesus Tamayo. They began by looking at all the original suspects once again, like Kim's last boyfriend, Ken Weatherford.
We had already narrowed down the time frame when we believed something happened to Kim.
Weatherford declined an interview with 48 Hours. He was actually with Tiffany around the time Kim went missing, so investigators ruled him out.
We also looked into a former boss of Kim's named Frank McCormick.
That boss who had sent Kim all those disturbing love letters and images.
You have to ask yourself, how far was he willing to go to get her attention?
Because obsession can lead to something dangerous.
Absolutely.
Frank McCormick declined an interview with 48 Hours, but he did speak to investigators. Detective Wilson confronted him with a stack of those letters.
It's bringing back some memories for you.
been a long time.
I admit, as I sit here, it's hard for me to believe I wrote this. Obviously, it's my handwriting.
Regardless of what he said he remembered, McCormick still had that alibi, documented by the grocery store receipt from around the time Kim disappeared.
So ultimately, we felt like Frank was not relevant to this case.
Who became your top suspects in the disappearance of Kim?
Our top suspect was Terry Rose. He's showing all the typical behaviors of someone who is abusive. He just couldn't let go.
I'm Heather Wilson. I work.
But when approached more than two decades later, Terry Rose, now 66 years old, was still adamant he had nothing to do with Kim Langwell's disappearance.
I mean, what's your theory on what happened to her? What do you think?
I don't really know. Once we broke it off, I figured just leave her alone.
And so we're trying to find his inner circle. So we wanted to find these people that were close to Terry.
One of those people was David Wiley, who Terry Rose played pool with the night Kim went missing.
We could feel that David was the weakest link.
Mr. David.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Detective Jesus Tamayo showed up at David Wiley's door in 2023 and interviewed him in his patrol vehicle.
Knowing Terry like he knew Terry, did he have anything to do with Kimberly's disappearance?
I don't think so. Not at all. And I just don't think he's that type of person.
Investigators were convinced Wiley wasn't telling them everything he knew. So in April of 2024, the DA convened a grand jury where Terry Rose and David Wiley would have to testify under oath. Rose stuck to his original story, but Wiley, while also consistent, seemed uneasy.
He was very nervous. He seemed very uncomfortable.
So we decided to call David Wiley and see if he would just be willing to come in and take a polygraph test. He immediately was like, you're gonna need to contact my attorney, and ended the phone call. So we knew at that point that we were onto something.
That hunch was confirmed when Wiley's attorney called back.
He does have information for y'all that's gonna help you find her.
How are you doing today?
Good, how are you doing?
Doing great.
In April 2024, more than two decades after Kim Langwell disappeared, David Wiley was ready to talk to investigators.
This was huge. This is what we needed.
But only under one condition.
His attorney told us he wants full immunity from any kind of prosecution. He said, okay, we kind of need to know what we're working with here.
Detectives wondered if Wiley could have been an accomplice.
He said, no, he didn't. He's not saying that he killed her, that he just has information of what happened to her. So we're like, we can work with that.
With assurances of an immunity deal, David Wiley met with investigators at his attorney's office.
Our goal is you're here to tell the truth, okay?
Wiley told detectives that on July 9th, 1999, the day Kim disappeared, he received a call around 6:15 p.m. from his friend and former boss, Terry Rose.
He called me and asked me to pick him up at Walmart. He just said, when you get close to the parking lot, call me. I called, and he was in Kim's car. When I pulled up next to him, he said that he did not like that parking lot and to follow him.
Did you ask him, why are you in the car?
No, I did not ask.
So y'all left Walmart and you followed them
down
to Colonnade?
Turned into the Colonnade shopping center parking lot. He stopped in a spot, got out and got in my truck. And I took him and dropped him off at his house and went back to my little trailer I was living in.
Later that evening, Wiley said he met up with Terry to play pool. The two then had breakfast the next morning. Wiley was foggy on the timing, but says Terry, out of the blue, told him a horrific story about what had happened to Kim.
He told me that she was at his house, and I guess they argued, and then he shot her.
And then after that, did he say what did he do with the body?
he told me that he put her under the slab in one of the bedrooms.
One of the bedrooms? And did he say which one?
No, he did not say which one.
We couldn't quite comprehend she's under the slab in a bedroom in his house.
Days later, David Wiley was given a polygraph test.
Did Terry tell you he shot Kim?
Yes.
Did Terry tell you where he buried Kim?
Yes.
And passed. But before they could arrest Terry Rose, the district attorney's office insisted they get physical evidence that would back up Wiley's story.
We still had a lot of work to do. We're going to be cracking the slab of this house. We're going to be looking under the floor as David described where she was. It was going to be a huge operation.
And it would take intricate and secretive planning. Detectives feared that if Terry Rose found out, David Wiley's life could be in danger. They were also concerned about the safety of Terry's common-law wife, Violet.
What is his mindset? If this man is really the narcissist psychopath we believe him to be, will Violet's life be in danger too?
So they devised a ruse. On June 10th, 2024, Terry Rose and Violet were called to the police station to discuss another case. Terry's father had been a victim of a homicide 5 years after Kim disappeared. After that conversation, the Langwell investigators stepped in.
How you doing? All right? Good. I want you to remember me. I'm one of the guys that I was working on the Kimberly Langwell case.
I think he was truly caught off guard that he was called to the police station for one thing, and now this is happening.
It's been signed by the judge.
As Detectives Tamayo and Wilson served Terry Rose with the search warrant, investigators were at his house, ready to begin looking for Kim Langwell.
I want you to understand what all it entails. Okay. It's going to be a thorough search of the house, possibly under the house. So if there is information that you want to tell us, is Kimberly on the property? Is there any evidence of her murder on the property?
Shouldn't be. No.
Did you murder Kim?
No.
So is there any reason why we're going to find any kind of blood or evidence or remains or anything like that anywhere on your property, sir?
No. I don't know what you want.
We want the body.
Well, I understand that. I don't have anything to tell you.
Okay. We just want to give you that opportunity.
Is this mine or...
You can keep that. Yes, sir.
I think at that point, he knew that his world was crashing down, but he couldn't stop it.
Detectives Wilson and Tamayo then went to speak to Violet.
We have the search warrant to look for Kimberly Manuel all through the property.
Okay.
If there's anything that we need to know now before we begin, this is the time.
I honestly can tell you I don't know anything about where she is or anything about that.
She really wasn't worried about Terry, I don't think. I think that she really thought that he had nothing to do with this and we weren't going to find whatever we were looking for.
So y'all just do what you have to do.
So well, if I hadn't known this, I would have washed the dishes.
Don't worry about that. Oh,
Terry Rose and Violet were free to go, but not to their home. Police put tracking devices on Terry's vehicles so they could monitor his movements. The next day, an FBI evidence response team assisted Beaumont PD investigators at Terry's house.
They brought in their own equipment, ground-penetrating radar, so they started that tedious process of scanning all the rooms.
By day three of the search, they scanned one of the two bedrooms in Terry Rose's house. But the next morning, the equipment had to be pulled.
Now there was a little bit of a scramble and a panic of, we need to get another GPR out here, ground-penetrating radar, but Detective Wilson had a great idea and somebody we could call on.
That somebody was Tim Miller, the founder of Texas EquiSearch, an organization that specializes in finding missing people.
You know, it doesn't matter when we get that phone call. We're there to help the family, help law enforcement.
Later that afternoon, Miller and his team got to work on the second bedroom.
Literally within 3 or 4 minutes, we noticed that there's something here. There's no wire mesh. This area has been disturbed. And then I pounded on it just a couple times lightly, and that area was hollow.
You could hear it.
I could hear it. And it was like, she has to be here.
Almost immediately, we start breaking the tile flooring that was in that bedroom.
We started with a
sledgehammers. And once we made that initial break in the tile, we realized that he had stacked cinder blocks underneath the flooring. So those cinder blocks just immediately collapsed, and there was a divot. Yeah, a void. So we knew this is not normal. We knew we were in the right area.
Then Detective Tamayo made a discovery.
I found a keychain and a pair of sunglasses.
Not long after, they found something else.
One of our ID technicians actually found 3 small, very small bones that we believe were toe bones.
Chime is changing the way people bank by offering a rewarding, fee-free banking experience built specifically for you. Unlike traditional old banks that hit you with monthly maintenance and overdraft fees, Chime believes you shouldn't have to pay to get your own money, which is why they provide access to thousands of fee-free ATMs. I'm always looking for ways to save on everyday purchases, especially with all the extra spending that seems to come up over the summer. Chime can make it easy to save by offering 5% cash back on your Chime card in categories like gas or groceries. Your savings will also grow faster with a 3.75% APY, which is 9 times higher than the national average. Beyond the savings, Chime offers flexible tools like MyPay, which lets you access up to $500 of your pay, and SpotMe, which allows for fee-free overdrafts up to $200. Chime is not just smarter banking, it is the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free. Head to chime.com/48hours. That is chime.com/48hours. It only takes a few minutes to sign up.
Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services for MyPay and Chime card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges. Stated annual percentage yield and cash back for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. Checking account ranking based on a J.D. Power survey published October 20, 2025. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to chime.com/disclosures.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Once we found human bones, we knew she was there. And the decision was made, it's time to get an arrest warrant.
On June 13th, 2024, more than 2 decades after Kim Langwell disappeared, undercover Beaumont police officers had their eyes on Terry Rose, tracking his every movement as they waited for an arrest warrant for murder to be signed by a judge.
Mitch, you're being briefed on all this, right?
Yes. I'm back at the police station.
And where is Terry?
Terry is going to a local restaurant here in town to have dinner with his wife. Terry Rose is walking out of the restaurant, and I could hear the chatter.
Sorry, I got eyes on.
Is that warrant signed? We see him moving. He's paying his check. He's walking. And then I say, warrant signed, arrest him.
All right, I say move. Boys, feet on the ground.
Hands, hands, let me see your hands. Hands, hands, hands. Over here, over here.
Get down on the ground.
Over here.
I have a hard time.
Get her.
His demeanor was different. It wasn't the same Terry I'd seen. You could see the defeat on his face. I think he knew it was over.
Don't hurt me.
Terry Rose was immediately transported to the police department where Detectives Wilson and Tamayo were waiting to question him.
Can't see him right here.
We do have an arrest warrant for you for the offense of murder. You don't want to talk?
Nothing to say. What can I say?
Well, there's probably a lot to say. I mean, are you curious about what we have found or why you're here?
No, you got what you want.
His true character is being revealed in that moment.
I won't be believed anyway. I'm not going to waste my breath.
I mean, I'm interested in what you have to say. I really am. I will hear you out.
Doesn't matter.
The family might be.
Do you have anything to say to Kim's family?
No.
Detectives then brought Terry Rose's wife, Violet, along with her brother and sister-in-law, into the interrogation room.
I was going to ask the obvious question.
I was going to say, I assume we're here because you
they
found something.
Him.
Yes.
May I ask where?
Under one of the bedrooms.
Him and Violet.
I'm asleep.
It's okay, Violet. Violet, it's okay. Hey, Violet, man. You didn't know it. You trusted him. Okay? It's okay, Violet. It's okay.
I'm sleeping there.
I understand, Violet. I understand.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Violet, you're going to get through this. You're going to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
You got friends?
I know.
You're going to get through this.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Don't be. Okay. Don't be sorry.
Oh, well, that's a shock.
Do you believe that Violet knew nothing about the fact that her husband murdered this woman and buried her under the floor of the house?
I believe that she did not know any of that. I don't think she ever speculated that he was actually involved.
Violet declined our request for an interview. Now in custody, Terry Rose headed to jail, facing a murder charge.
And we watched him walk down the stairs in handcuffs, you know, with police escorting him to the police car, and then, you know, stared him down, gave him the looks that he deserved as he, you know, had to drive right past us to go to prison.
And your eyes were sending a message, right?
Absolutely.
And that message was?
We got you. I finally have her back. Not the way I want her, but He's finally going to pay for what he did.
Did you do it?
Did you?
Back at the Rose property, investigators continued to dig into the early morning hours to make sure they recovered all of the remains.
So the whole excavation process took about 13 hours. So we were there through the night. We found her completely skeletonized. She had been wrapped in a blanket, so luckily she was all there. We found all of her. And there was also a very obvious gunshot wound to the back of her head.
Is there an emotional component for you at this moment?
It is. It's kind of hard to describe the room, but it was very quiet. And we all knew that this was a gravesite, somewhere that she had been buried and imprisoned for years. And it was a great moment knowing that we're finally getting her out of this house to bring her home to her family.
Weeks later, the results from DNA testing and dental records verified what everyone already knew, that the remains were in fact Kim's.
We were very excited about going to trial on this case.
Jefferson County Prosecutor Luke Nichols was also confident.
They found a murder victim's body under a man's floor. So as far as proving it, it was a great case, strong case.
Nichols was ready to share with jurors his theory of what happened to Kim Langwell the evening she was murdered.
Something that Kim said or did brought home to Terry Rose that he lost her, that she was moving on with her life. She had a new boyfriend that she was getting serious with. She did not need him anymore. And that set him off. I think once he killed her and made the decision to put her body under his floor, it was just a sick, twisted way of maintaining physical control over her body.
Terry
Rose are being charged with the murder of Kimberly Langwell.
But just a week before the trial was to begin, Rose's defense attorney approached Nichols about a plea deal. Nichols offered a maximum sentence of 40 years without the ability to appeal in exchange for a guilty plea from Terry Rose.
With a guilty plea, he's admitting guilt for the first time since this happened. More importantly, we can't promise that a jury of 12 people is going to always get it right.
When presented with the deal, Tiffany and Susan had mixed feelings.
I wasn't happy, you know, at first. What I had to think about is the fact that we have lived and breathed this situation for 25 years. And if I can walk away from this courtroom and I don't have to come back for any kind of appeals, that's a good day.
Rose's attorney agreed to the terms. Now, Prosecutor Nichols would have to persuade the judge to give Terry Rose the maximum 40-year sentence.
We had this horrible story of what he had done to this family, and I thought it was important to get all that out there.
Nichols would present crucial evidence at the sentencing hearing, including testimony from his star witness, David Wiley.
What I told him was, this is your chance to make it as right as you can at this point. You can't go back 25 years and start telling the truth, but you can start now. State calls David Wiley.
There are people you are told to trust, lawyers, teachers, especially doctors. But what happens when you put your life in someone's hands and they betray you? The hit podcast Dr. Death is back, and this season is unlike any other. Dr. Death the Cowboy is the story of a charming neurosurgeon who rode into Western towns selling a persona of confidence and care. He wore cowboy boots in the operating room and became sought after by patients he promised to heal. Instead, he left a trail of broken bodies. This season is about a doctor who was never truly held accountable for the patients whose lives he ruined. A story of greed, betrayal, and a fight for justice that will leave you questioning who to trust. Listen to Dr. Death the Cowboy wherever you get your podcasts, or binge the entire series right now only with Audible.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really? Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?
I'm anxious. I'm nervous to have to look at him. So a lot of nerves going in to that moment.
That moment, over a quarter of a century in the making, came in December of 2025, when Tiffany McGinnis, flanked by supporters, faced her mother's killer in a courtroom.
All right.
The terms of the plea deal were he would get anything up to 40 years. At his age, 40 years is a life sentence. And my goal from the get-go was to make sure he never breathed one more breath of free air.
Prosecutor Nichols called David Wiley to the stand.
You swear or affirm the testimony you're going to give in this hearing will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes, I do.
Who recounted Terry Rose's confession to him back in 1999.
Did you give you any detail as to how that happened or where he shot her?
The only thing you told me was the back of the head.
That he shot Kim in the back of the head?
Correct.
Now, the police asked you about this in 1999, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
And did you tell them the truth about what had happened and what Terry had said?
No, I did not.
And so you kept your mouth shut, didn't you?
I did.
You kept Terry's secret?
I did.
Wiley said he now regrets guarding that secret, which caused so much needless heartache and despair.
25 years after it happened, what made you come forward?
I didn't want to live it any longer. I'm tired of it being on my conscience.
Is there something you want to say to Tiffany McGinnis and her family?
I wish I'd have came forward right when it happened.
What was it like to listen to Wiley on the stand?
frustrating. It's frustrating that here we spent all this time trying to figure out what the hell happened and you had an answer right in your back pocket.
So, Tiffany, I'm sorry you have to be here.
Me too.
Tiffany was called to testify.
And once I'm on the stand, all I can think about is do not stare at him because I don't know if I'll be able to talk.
She described those agonizing years not knowing where her mother was or what had happened to her.
My mom is the person that I go to for everything. So, lost, very lost.
Tiffany recalled her devastation on learning her mother's fate all those years later.
I just screamed and pulled over my car.
And then expressed her hope for Terry Rose's punishment.
I would like him sentenced to at least 40 years. I think he deserves that.
And you and I've spoken, there's not a number that really makes this right, is
there? No, there never will be.
The judge also heard from Terry Rose himself.
This is a prepaid call from
Terry Rose.
Via a recorded jail call with his son. At one point, Terry Rose callously described his frame of mind when he killed Kim Langwell.
I'm not like a psychopath, sociopath, crazy ass. You know, I'm not none of that. I had a bad day. I dealt with it wrong. I f***ed up and I'm got to deal with it.
Then the two coldly discussed what they wished for Tiffany.
She's in her 40s. People die in their 40s and 50s all the time.
That'd be sweet. Yeah, that'd be sweet. I will pee in a cup, send it to y'all to pour on her grave.
I will mail you a cup of my and you can pour it on her grave. And to say that about the daughter of a woman you killed is just horrific.
The fact on that phone call that you said you're not a psychopath. Who isn't a psychopath that kills someone that they once cared about and buries them in their house and lives on top of them for 25 years? I would think that's the definition in Webster's Dictionary of a psychopath.
Now, Judge West handed down her sentence.
And Tiffany's right. 40 years isn't enough. There is a part of me that wishes I had not accepted this plea agreement and that we had gone to trial last week, because I do think a jury would have given you life for 99 years. I actually do. I'm going to sentence you to a term of 40 years in the Institutional Division of the Texas Department of Corrections.
And Tiffany got the final word.
Milestones that should have been shared with my mom: my 16th birthday, my 18th birthday, my high school graduation, have all been shadowed by her absence.
It wasn't until we got to my victim statement that I really stared at him and I wanted him to hear my words, because I meant every single one.
You refer to the day you murdered my mother and buried her beneath your bedroom as a bad day? That bad day cost me everything.
If he's watching, do you have anything to say to Terry Rose?
I don't think I have anything left to say to him. I hope he rots in jail.
When you think about your mom now, what do you think about?
I try to remember all the good times with mom more than anything. The good memories, her humor. My mom was so strong and she deserves us talking about her and keeping her alive in that way.
How she lived as opposed to how she died.
Absolutely. Yeah.